Today's scripture is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been trying and looking to cultivate goodness. Then, since you've been trying so hard, can you confidently say before God that you have cultivated perfect goodness? No matter how much you tried, if your goodness is not perfect in the sight of God, it's not goodness. You might think something is goodness, but God will say it is evil. There are things like that. You might think something is not evil, but actually, it is evil because it's not goodness. James 4:17 says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you don't do goodness, that's sin. Those who try to resemble the goodness of Father God should always think that whether their goodness is the perfect goodness in the sight of Father God, who is truth and goodness itself. If it is not perfect, you have to discover it why, and you have to run toward even deeper level of goodness and love. One thing you should not forget is that you should not stop discovering what is short and run toward perfect goodness. For John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is perfect light, and He has no darkness at all. He wants you to become the light who have no darkness at all. This message is based on the word of 2013 Women's Devotional Service by our shepherd. Here, I will briefly explain spiritual light and darkness. Darkness, in spiritual terms, means sin, illegal, and injustice. And light, good, truth, and love. When the light shines, darkness goes away. You know, if you turn on the candle light, thanks to the light, it brightens up, you know, darkness, right? If you walk in the perfect light, darkness will go away from you, and the blessing of Father God will be with you. We always have to resemble our Father God and run toward His perfect light and goodness. Those of Holy Spirit fill their heart to become 100% of Holy Spirit. Chances are that, though, people of spirit may stagnate without discriminating or distinguishing between goodness and evil. You must not mistakenly think that you are relatively good just because you have been accumulating some goodness within your own limit. You should cultivate perfect goodness that has no evil at all. You should live a life to give out the deep fragrance of our Lord and of our Father God. Before the main message, I will read what Elder Sung Gu Chung wrote to Mrs. Bongnin Lee after seeing a spiritual vision. I hope you can receive all the more grace during a special prayer meeting. This is what he saw. During the Daniel prayer meeting, fire is working so vividly around Mrs. Bongnin Lee. When she lays on her hands on the souls, those who are not full of the Spirit can receive the fire and become full of the Holy Spirit, and they repent. And their fragrance of prayer goes up thick. Our shepherd gave peace offering, and that peace offering made a space for each one of us, and in that space, every individual received baptism of fire along with answers and blessings. you know, try to think of this message and, you know, pray when you pray in, during the Daniel prayer meeting. So in the space which is created by our shepherds in a peace offering, you are receiving baptism of fire along with answers and blessings. The spirit of our shepherd visits our members who have weak faith or who haven't received the measure of faith, hold their hands and help them to receive the baptism of fire and run toward New Jerusalem. Our shepherd talked about the changing of mind on the first day of the special prayer meeting, and the fire came down until the attribute of changing of mind. So this attribute of, you know, changing of mind, until it is completely burned, the fire came down. When someone was praying for the sinful attribute, which makes him, you know, see what he should not see, the fire came down upon his eyes, and the fire burned his sinful attributes in his heart. His heart was changed to see only the things of goodness and truth. So apply this message to yourself, okay? And how your sinful attributes can be burned in your heart as you listen to me, okay? When someone was repenting of what she heard, you know, she was not supposed to hear, you know, the fire came down upon her ears, and the fire came, you know, penetrated into her heart and burned these sinful attributes. Someone was repenting of speaking in a harsh language. When he repented, the fire came down upon his head and went through his mouth, and the fire burned inside his mouth and heart, and the burned the sinful attributes of speaking in a harsh language. Now, he can speak very gentle and touching words. Husbands and wives and mothers of law and children, you know, those with this kind of ill feelings melt down by thanks to fire. Some people now changed to consider other situation. When people received the baptism of fire, people's heart changed, and they were healed, their building, their healed, their diseases were also healed. Many sins were attached to their, you know, heart. It's been too long. And people didn't know it was sin, or some people thought it was part of their body. But the baptism of fire came upon them and burned them up. You know, those, you know, sinful attributes were attached to your heart and became part of your body, but the baptism of fire came down upon them, and then, you know, those, you know, simple attributes were gone. So as you receive the baptism of fire in this special prayer meeting season, you know, those, you know, simple attributes that you couldn't, you know, cast off or burned up, and that baptism of fire help you to get rid of the changing of mind. So remember this and pray all the more fervently, okay? Today, I will tell you three things to cast off, to cultivate goodness before Father God, and how to find and cast away those things. As you listen to this message, please look back on yourself and run toward all the more perfect goodness of Father God. The first thing that you have to cast off to cultivate goodness before God is self-justification. Our shepherd, when he was a novice Christian, was reading the message of God. He realized how evil he was before. So when you learn the truth, you should discover how evil you were. Our shepherd said, "There is nothing that was good that I did in the past. I'm not good." He denied himself like this and started to read the Bible. The heart of becoming, being arrogant, to boast of, to be raised, to be praised. He thought everything like this evil. He thought of himself flesh, and God is the only good. The word of Father God is only goodness, and he discovered it himself. He said, I still have much evil. He thought to himself like this while reading the Bible and tried to learn the goodness and love of Father God. When we were novice Christians, you know, we discovered our wrongdoings and tried to fix ourselves when we listened to the word of truth. We started to use good languages, and we tried to put on a proper attire before Father God in worship service. We tried to change the way we speak according to the truth, and when we were advised, we were so grateful. However, when we thought our faith grew up a little bit, it became formality. You know, it's time to circumcise our heart. But when we became workers of this church, instead of discovering ourselves, we come up with excuses. Well, if truth becomes the standard, and if we truly long for a deep level of goodness, then we have to discover what we are short of. But that message becomes our knowledge and a teaching method. We thought we were doing well, and we thought we have been changed well. Well, if you have spiritual faith, and you should not justify yourself. So I'll tell you, whenever you give worship service, whenever you listen to a message, whenever you pray, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And you have to acknowledge that you've been wrong. So I'll tell you two types that justify yourself. Now, when you get an indication of your fault, it is when you justify. And when you have a lot of duties, you justify that you cannot do anything that is less important. First of all, when you are appointed by your boss, then instead of saying that you are right, you have to check what was wrong with you. You have to respect even the little ones. But since you think you are better than someone, you think you're right. Even men of spirit have this kind of problem. Since they think they are right, they cannot change. To cultivate perfect goodness, you have to look back on yourself, reflecting the word of God, and diligently fill up what you lack. Sometimes, even though you know your shortcomings, you give excuses, saying you couldn't help but do, what you did rather than trying to change yourself. You think you were in a situation where, you had no act, but, so it is not evil, although you didn't actively do what is really good. Well, we are not only long for spirit, we run toward deeper level of goodness and love, which is 99% or 99% of the Holy Spirit. Those with a higher level of faith than yours can see what you cannot see. So you have to always think that there is a chance that I can be wrong. And you have to listen to their word, and you should make an excuse. You always think, what is the goodness in the sight of God? You always have to think that, in the sight of God, chances are that I can be wrong. Say, someone pointed to something. Then you may say, is it something you're mistaken? Instead of saying that, you have to say, wow, thank you for pointing me that. Thank you. I'll fix myself. If you don't understand what he was saying, then okay. But I cannot actually understand what I should do. Please tell me more so that I can understand what I should do. But even if you say like this, it does not mean that what you say becomes proof that you are changed.
듣는다 할지라도 바로 그렇게 되지 않습니다.
Well, and it does not happen overnight. Therefore,
내 입장을 설명하려는 나를 발견하고,
you have to discover that you have this kind of mind and always pray fervently to change yourself. Father, I wanted to be praised. Instead of giving thanks, I made up with excuses when I was appointed. And I just justified myself. I was like this. So please help me to change myself. You should be able to pray like this. Please help me, Father God. As you just heard from the spiritual things, you grew up like that without knowing, you know, you made up excuses. You thought you were right. You grew up like that. So you have to pray to Father God after acknowledging it. Father, I was growing up like that. So thank you for pointing me. But I want to change myself now to be good in your sight. Even if you receive grace, that does not mean that you accomplished it. You have to pray fervently. Once after you discover it, you have to pray for it. You have to change. You have to pray until you change. You have to always think that there is a chance that you can be wrong. You have to acknowledge that you are falling short. The lady, the Syrophoenician lady in the Bible can be a good example. Wise man does not care about his pride. The more important thing is the purpose of receiving answer. So, he always listens to others clearly. Mark chapter 7, verse 25 to 30. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. You can find a Syrophoenician lady who heard about news about Jesus.
헬라인이요, 수로보니게 족속이라고 소개합니다. 수로보니게라는 말은
As you can see, she was Syrophoenician, which means she was a Gentile lady. Well, Matthew 12:22 says, And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out. We can see she was a Syrophoenician and a Canaanite. She just said, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And Jesus said she was one of dogs, and he said he could not give the bread to her. Jesus already knew the heart of this lady. He knew that this lady would not misunderstand what Jesus said. And when she made the confession of faith, her daughter was healed. Now you came with the subject of prayer. Now you, your pride was hurt. Now you may say, I thought, you know, he was a man of love, and how can he say like that to me? However, she was so humble, and she lowered herself, and she wanted to find way how to receive answer. So she didn't say no. She said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And Jesus said to her, Because of this answer, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, demon having left. Lord is goodness and love. Before the Lord, before Father God, and before our boss, we should become humble. Those who truly want to change, listen to the words of even the little ones. They remember it and change themselves. You have to look back on yourself, whether you have justified yourself or you listen to the little ones and change yourself. For example, a wife is a church worker, but her husband is not Christian. But she helped chores well. She did her best in the morning. But then the husband said, I wanted to have this kind of soup. Now, put yourself into her shoes. You're supposed to say, I'm sorry, I'll prepare the soup for dinner. That's the answer of goodness. However, if you think, I prepared this so many dishes, and then here you're looking for what is missing, you don't know how hard I'm working for you. If you say like this, you are justifying yourself. You should feel sorry for not being able to prepare what your husband wants. However, many workers say that they cannot, it's not easy to say, I'm sorry. You know, I did my best for my family. You know, not to say, I'm sorry. Well, Pastor, I cannot say, you know, I'm sorry to my husband. One husband said to her and his wife, why don't you say, I'm sorry to me? Why don't you say sorry for not, you know, pleasing your husband's heart? For not doing what your husband wants. If you say so, it can become the answer of goodness.
이제 진리를 들으면 많이 바뀌었습니다. 전에는 주장했고 변론했고 자기가 옳다고 말을 했습니다. 그런데 이제 남편이 원하는 과일을 좋아하기 때문에
so, 과일을 she, you know, 종류별로 넣어놨습니다. Puts the lots of the different in the fruits.
사과였어요.
And then husband likes in apple.
사과가 없네.
Well, there is no apple. Even though you put lot of fruits.
아내가 전에 같으면 과일 많거든요.
The wife says that there are many other fruits. Why don't you eat that one? But this time, wife stopped saying it. She put a lot of apple in the evening and put that in the refrigerator. Now, the husband didn't like it. Well, my wife didn't like it. What is wrong? And I said, well, thank you because you were not upset, but you suppressed yourself and put the apples in the refrigerator that what your husband was looking for. Well, even if you, you know, bought just the one or two, you know, apples, why didn't you say just I'm sorry? Then you would make your husband happier. Well, our workers are working so hard and they are doing their best. However, if you do more goodness, then it can shine and it can touch, you know, others, you know, hearts. For example, now you want to decorate one room as a kitchen. So workers had a plan. Now, there is one worker who didn't know it was to be designed as a kitchen, but this man thought it was the reception room, so he bought all kinds of, you know, lumbers, all kinds of stuff. The one said, I tried to make this room, you know, kitchen. Then this worker should be supposed to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know, you know, it was to be kitchen, but, you know, I thought it was to be a reception room. I'm sorry. But usually, most of the time, the worker is saying, you know what? I thought it's going to be a reception room. I went there and here and there to find all kinds of interior and materials to make it beautiful in the reception room. You should not say so. You have to say, I'm sorry. Instead of saying, you know, what you did, you have to check yourself that it was not perfect goodness. Even if there is nothing wrong with you, you have to feel sorry for not considering others' hearts. When you do so, then you can accomplish even the perfect goodness. You justify yourself because you are doing something important. So when something less important is not done well, then it is beyond your scope. Well, for example, you know very well that you have to be faithful in all God's house. You don't only, you know, have your church duties, but also other duties as a mother, wife, or daughter-in-law. If you put too much focus on, you know, one duty among so many duties that you have to fulfill, we cannot say it is spiritual. It's not spiritual just to do spiritual work, but it is spiritual to do all the works with the heart of spirit. But some of you don't recognize your shortcomings, thinking, you know, I'm busy with the work of God. I'm the leader, and I have a very important duty. This work is much more important than that work. You are justifying yourself, thinking you cannot help, even though you are not doing the less important works because you have to do the more important works. It can be considered in a cunningness because it is to misuse the truth for your benefit. If your family members love God and have faith, they might be able to understand your action. But even though they try to understand, it will eventually leave wounds deep in their hearts. If your family members do not have faith, peace will be broken and God will be disgraced. His glory will be hindered. But it is true that we have to choose spirit if we are at the crossroad of spirit and flesh. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and it is worse than an unbeliever." And 2 Timothy 3:3 says, "It is unloving." People become unloving as one of the signs of the end time. I want you to think whether you are really completely tied up, you cannot spare any more time, or you are lacking spiritual love. Whether or not you are lazy and irresponsible, you know, doing only the things that you'd like to do, neglecting the works that you really don't want to do. For example, if you really serve your parents, you will try to call them as often as possible, though you cannot visit them very often. Doing some works for God, if you cannot meet your husband or children when they get back home, you can leave a note or a memo containing your warm love and thankful heart for them. Even though you cannot be with them in person, you can pray and think of the ways to let your children feel the love of the mother and to encourage your husband. You always think from the side of Father God and try to do more goodness than Father God desires and feel what you fall short of. Even though there is something that you cannot do, you always have to think about it and try to be faithful. You know, since I have to go to Daniel prayer meeting, you know, I don't have much time to take care of my children. Well, I have to go to Daniel prayer meeting, so please wait for me at home, right? Well, then I tell them, you come to Daniel prayer meeting. Mrs. Bong-Lin Lee leads the Daniel prayer meeting. He led the morning prayer center meeting. And he comes to Daniel prayer meeting. But whenever we visit her, she always welcomes me in the afternoon. She has never said that, I'm so tired I have to lead the Daniel prayer meeting, so I have to take a rest. So of course, it's not easy for me to go to her and visit her. But even though I visit her, she always puts a big smile on her face and welcomes me all the time. Even though she leads Daniel prayer meeting every night. However, just because you have to come to Daniel prayer meeting and if you neglect your family work, if you neglect your family, it is not goodness. You might be so busy doing very important duties, but if you are really trying to be faithful in all God's house, you will pay attention to all the aspects that you have to fulfill. Those who are good at studying, they, you know, manage their time very well. While you have to do 10 things for them, you might be able to do only one, only a couple. And so you will do them with all your heart and love. Let's say you are a leader in one group, but you are just a member of the other. So, in a group where you are the leader, you ask other members to be faithful in your group, but you neglect your duties in a group where you are its member. When you are faithful in both groups, then Satan cannot accuse you. You have to always check whether you look for your benefit. The second aspect that you have to cast away to cultivate goodness before God is arrogance. This arrogance is to think you are better than others. Arrogant people are selfish. They stick to their own opinion. And they don't accept others' opinion because they think they are better than anybody. Arrogance comes in a very sneaky way. Your heart is lifted without yourself realizing it. King Saul was just one ordinary man. He never thought he could become the king. But as he continued to be served as the king, his heart was being lifted without him realizing it. He considered the throne only his, and he became accustomed to misusing the power. When he won the battle, he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God in the beginning. However, later on, he thought he was good at battle. And when he was praised by his people, he took it for granted. Even Prophet Samuel, who anointed Saul as the king, was afraid of Saul. He won the battle thanks to David and saved the country. And people praised David better than Saul. Saul could not accept it. He must be thankful to the general who won the battle. However, since he was arrogant, he tried to kill his subordinate, David. When Saul was trying to kill the good man David, and when he did such an evil act of destroying the whole city of priests, nobody could stop him. If anybody said anything opposing his opinions, he poured out vicious curses even toward his own son. First, he felt embarrassed to be anointed as the king, and he hid himself, but he changed so much later. Arrogance grows like this. But you have to be humble. The arrogance does not come into you. Whenever you find arrogance, you have to pull it out. You always should be humble in your heart and lower yourself. Whenever there is a sign of arrogance, you have to pull it out by root. You always have to think that there is a chance that you can become arrogant. You have to always check yourself whether you're arrogant or not. Suppose you are checking yourself and you love and trust the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd. You attend all worship services, do not cease to pray, and you attend other meetings too. You listen to the truth for a long time, and you will diligently do your duties, and you know what to do in your given jobs. But you are not actually casting away envy, jealousy, hard feelings, ill feelings, and judging and condemning. You suppress those feelings with your manners, so they are not easily revealed. You don't realize that you are slow in circumcising your heart. You just think that you have great faith, thinking of your diligence and dedication that you have offered before. When you receive your measure of faith that was lower than you expected, you may have become disappointed. So let me tell you two types of arrogance. First, you are uncomfortable comparing yourself with others. You feel difficult. You feel difficulty, you know, when your opinion does not go through. Well, comparing yourself with others itself means that you are short of many things. You think others are, you know, not better than you.
자신을 발견해서 벗어버려야 합니다. 상대의 믿음의 성장을 보면 진료한
If you find somebody is better than you and if you have ill feelings for that, you have to cast it off. You should rejoice when others are better than you and their faith is better than yours. You worked with your co-workers. When your co-workers are praised, then you should rejoice together.
또 자신과 비교하여 자기보다 못하다고 생각하는 사람이 나보다
when you find yourself and you have to check yourself, you know, what kind of heart you got. When someone was praised and that someone you thought was not better than you, that's not goodness. When someone was praised and recognized, you should rejoice. But when you didn't, and you were disappointed when you compared yourself with that man, then you have to discover it. And you have to pray, Father, you told me to rejoice together. I have to consider others better than me. But I didn't do that. When he was recognized, I didn't have good feeling. Father, I'm wrong. I did something wrong. Please, help me. Now, you know there is such a feeling, but you suppress it. And you pretend as if you felt nothing. Later on, you just forget that kind of feeling can make you arrogant. Those who long for goodness, should say, that's right. No, he did his best. I should do my best like he did. You know, when others were praised. But the arrogant people try to find shortcomings of others. And those humble people try to resemble, you know, others' good things. But, you know, arrogant people try to find shortcomings of others. They constantly compare themselves with those who been praised. You know, because I grew up in a bad environment, you know, that's why I couldn't do better jobs than he did. That's what arrogant people do. But people of goodness, realize, others are better than. At something, you know, and then they try to learn it. Since he was so diligent like that, you know, he came up with that kind of result. I should learn from it. He tried to resemble and learn. I hope you can check yourself at this moment. When Father God gave us the measure of faith, I tried to think about Father God's love and His heart. You know, you started to receive your measure of faith, and you realized that your faith was actually lower than what you thought. You know, some brothers and sisters could compare their faith with others and they could be embarrassed, but they discovered their envy and jealousy and arrogance and they cast them off and rejoiced with the truth and they considered others great. Father God was pleased. So Father God, every one of us is precious. We are purchased by the price of our Lord. By the blood of our Lord. We resemble Father God's heart thanks to tears of our shepherd. We are such precious treasure to Father God. Every one of us are souls who should go to New Jerusalem, live there forever with Father God. There is no doorplate in the castle of New Jerusalem. Because the fragrance from the castle is different from each other. So people can realize whose castle is whose. Some castle gives out the fragrance of faithfulness, others the fragrance of gentleness. So everybody can recognize whose house is, whose castle is whose. Father God wants you to accept your fragrance. Instead of being suppressed by comparing yourself with others or envying others' environment or being arrogant.
아버지 하나님을 너무나
As you love Father God so much,
감사로 선으로 충성으로
and become faithful with thanks and work with tears. That kind of fragrance Father God wants to receive from you. You have to run toward the goal. But when you look around to compare yourself with others, then you can be slow. We always have to empty ourselves to resemble our Father God's heart, to give glory to our Father God. We have to run toward the goal. But if you, I mean, from 2012, 2013, I compare myself with others. That's right, he had this goodness, these good things. That's what I did. While I was comparing myself like that, I thought, you know, I was so small. I was not good at anything. But one day, everybody has different fragrance to Father God's eyes. You know, this man is lovely because of this reason, and that person is, you know, lovely because of that reason. Someone is good, someone is gentle, someone is meek. I have to give the fragrance of my goodness to Father God. That's what I thought myself. From the moment I could change myself. Resemble the Father of God or God. You know, we have to learn from others. He was faithful like that. He had such goodness. We have to learn from others and resemble that. You have to compare yourself with others only to resemble from them. If not, you should realize how arrogant you are. You have to always think of others better than you are. You are arrogant when your opinion is not accepted well. And you feel uneasy. In some cases, some of you think your opinion is better than others just because you are the leader or you are older. Even though many people give you the same kind of advice, you just think you're right just because your measure of faith is higher than others. Those with higher faith should serve others better, to yield more. You have to check yourself. Sometimes I ask give questions to Pastor Soo-jin Lee. A said this and B said that. Who is right? Pastor Soo-jin Lee said like this. What you said is right, but since you have a higher measure of faith, you have to serve others more, so you're wrong. You have to be able to wait and listen until they can change. That's the heart of goodness the Father God wants. But if you think you're a leader, you're a higher level of faith, then you should listen. You have to check yourself. If arrogance sets in as like this, you don't listen to others or people around you. You should be always on the alert not to be arrogant. You say with your lips that you want to hear others' opinions and that you're open to advice. But people around you have learned through experience that if they do give you advice, your feelings will be hurt. So they just keep their commands to themselves. No, you say, you know, please say anything to me. When they say something, you feel uneasy. And they learn it and they don't say anything later on. This way you don't realize the faulty character in you and you think you've done nothing evil. That is why you cannot change yourself. Arrogance is revealed not only toward your subordinates or people around you, but also in the form of breaking the order. Now, you are the leader and you have your secretary. And both of you have, you know, conflicts in opinions. And your secretary goes to a person to your boss and tries to pass, you know, his opinion. Then your boss says, okay, do whatever you do what you say. Then your secretary comes to you and say, you know, your boss said, you know, my opinion is better than yours. You are not only violating the order, but also you are being cunningly deceitful to get your opinion accepted. You do what you want to be. You do what you want, being so arrogant. You say you did nothing wrong. You just think you got the permission from the boss, who is higher than the secretary. So there was nothing, there was no disobedience. But even though you work so hard this way, God cannot say you possess goodness. Unless you realize, you know, you ignore the order and you did give the proper report, and how cunning you are, you cannot change. 1 Peter 5:5 says, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. You always have to check yourself to have a humble heart. You always think it is all by the grace of Father God. And when you're recognized, acknowledged, and praised, you should always give glory to Father God only. And always check whether you have something short. And while I was listening to our shepherd's message again, I realized that this message is necessary for me. And I prayed during this special prayer meeting, Father, do I have any arrogance? There was anything, any incident that I want to be praised? Or have I ever ignored others' opinions? I prayed, thinking of this message, try to become more humble and to lower myself. You know, I'm the parish pastor. I'm the group leader. I'm the cell leader. Once you are given a duty, you are loved and you are respected by others. And so many people listen to your advice. Then you may think you're right. You have to be alert like this. You know? Some people can have better idea than yours. Your opinions cannot be accepted. Always think there is a chance like that. No, I do not like, you know, the vice leader. One leader said like this to me. The leader said, whenever I give my opinion, she always comes up with a different idea than mine. Oh, isn't it? I mean, is it wrong to give different idea? This leader was thinking, how could a vice leader give different idea than mine? It is okay to give other opinion. Others can have different ideas than yours. Right? You don't feel uneasy when someone has different idea than yours. Now, when someone comes up with a different ideas than yours, then you have to know that, people may have different ideas than yours. When they come up with the different ideas, then you have to follow the majority. Then have peace in your heart. Your idea was better than mine. And accept it. Without notice, you know, people don't realize that they become arrogant when your idea was accepted by your members all the time. You check yourself. People tend to seek for their own benefit. They can become selfish all the time. So, do know this and listen to others and accept others' advice all the time. You have to realize that you can be wrong. And you should be familiar with this. Someone gives offerings all the time, you know. Someone finds good place for meetings all the time. One day, she found a good place and gave an offering. Someone said, because of my schedule, I couldn't come. Now, this worker said, you know, I found this place and I pay for this. And how can you say you cannot come? And I pray. Your group wants to have a meeting on Saturday or other holidays, right? But your members can have different reasons not to come, right? But this worker thinks, this is the meeting that I have prepared with my own money and schedule, but why cannot they come? Even if you have a good idea, even if you prepare with all your best, but people may have different reasons not coming. You have to consider the situation and reasons. Well, the worker actually did that. There are many leaders, been a leader for long years. Then if you are one of such leaders, then you have to check whether you have arrogance or not. The third aspect that you have to cast away to cultivate goodness in God's sight is to mistakenly think your own fervor as a fervor for God. Your fervor in your own sight, you are confused that your fervor is for fervor for Father God. If your fervor is truly for God, you will do what pleases God all the time. You will not just work diligently, but you will work hard while circumcising your heart. And you will pursue peace and seek the benefit of others with love all the time. But those who have their own fervor have good sense of responsibility and passion, but they depart from the will of God while they are working. Suppose a president is newly elected for a mission group, and she is not good at administrative work. The secretary has more experience, and she teaches the president what to do. Nevertheless, the president is still not able to handle all those jobs. The secretary does all the work by herself. This secretary has some uncomfortable feelings while doing the work. The president should do this. Why does she give this job to me all the time? No, I got so many other jobs too. Then the secretary cannot do the job with joy. Sometimes she just does things at her own discretion without reporting it to the president. Or she might make detailed reports, but she manages to express her pride or her uncomfortable feelings in doing the president's job. Even though she is doing her best, but she breaks peace. Or she comes up with ill feelings while she's doing the job. Those with this kind of fervor, instead, I worked more hours than others did. So my faith would be higher than others. But the work of God can be measured what kind of heart you do with. While she is doing the job, if other workers in different areas do not work in the way she wants, her feelings are agitated again. This is not a personal favor for me. It is the work to be done before God. They say they love God, but why can't they be responsible for such a small thing? I've asked her to do this for a long time, but why is she delaying things like this? She speaks with frustration, or she hurts the feelings of others with her words. But Jesus said in John 8:29, if you do the work of Father God, then you should do the work according to the will of Father God. Even if slow, you should make peace, considering others' hearts, pleasing others' hearts. If the secretary helps the president's work, the secretary should teach the president to manage the work, even though she has better experience. Even if she has to take care of what presidents should do, and she should be, should, She should be able to do with joy and thanks. She should think, how can I help her more? How can I help her manage her job better? Those with good ability are quick to do their job. But you know, those who are newly elected or who are not quick, you know, are slow to learn things and slow to accomplish some jobs. And if you are a secretary, you should be able to help her to do a better job with joy and thanks. Our Lord said in John 8:29, He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. What Father God is pleased is making peace and serve others. You have to always consider others' hearts and try to make work, try to do the work in peace. You shouldn't say you were diligent when you worked with ill feelings in your heart. You have to get rid of these ill feelings but make peace. But she thinks, you know, she has to do the work of God and she is doing more than what is entrusted to her. She is doing her duty as a secretary very well. She covers her shortcomings with her zeal and thinking, you know, people begin to work only when I raise my voice. I don't want to act like this, you know, but somebody has to do the job like this. When peace is broken or when her job is pointed, then she gives up and she stops and she sets back. You know, she doesn't realize her evil. She becomes resentful and she says, I've been so faithful and this is how they treat me? No way. It is evil to become a spectator of the work of God. You should realize that if you are like this kind of secretary, you have managed fleshly Christian life. If you try to set back, that's faithful, fleshly faithfulness. You should rejoice when others are doing good. You should be thankful to be able to help others. When people do not realize what you are doing, and if you have ill feelings for that, and you have to realize that your Christian life has been wrong. There was a brother. His parents were very old. So he had to serve his parents. He had to take care of, you know, his, you know, parents by saving his, you know, expense. He's such a good man. However, it was not faithfulness in the sight of Father God. Because he served his parents so well, he took care of his parents so well by saving his expense. To that extent, he asked his parents to do this and to do that. He forced his opinion to his parents instead of serving their parents well. If you are like this, then you have to check and you have to see, even if you were faithful to take care of your parents, you should see that you were not serving your parents well and you have to change yourself. You are fleshly faithful to your parents. You want to spend your money for yourself, but you know, you helped, you took care of your parents. So you took pride of it. And if you have ill feelings for that, then that's not goodness. The goodness in the sight of Father God is to take care of your parents and at the same time serve your parents well. She was not diligently working for the kingdom of God with a truthful heart. It was a fervor that came out from her personality. So you have to make your faith mature. You have to see whether you are faithful out of your selfish mind or whether you're faithful out of your love for Father God. I urge you to check yourself as to whether or not you are working hard with your own fervor or with your love for God so that you can cultivate true goodness. Instead of remembering what you did good, you have to remember if there is anything that broke the peace with others. Some people feel uneasy with others' manners. There are people who grew up with good manners. Such people can say they can practice what our shepherd said. You know, when they heard about the deficiency of the body, they thought, you know, they think that they got no deficiencies. Because they organize things very well and they have good manners. So when they listen to, you know, senior pastor, you know, they say, I'm so thankful for having this kind of manners. You know, when, you know, well, our shepherd is doing, having so good manners and doing so goodness to others. Now, you have such good manners, but in your manners, if you have ill feelings against those who do not have such manners, then it's not goodness in the sight of Father God. Your manners should not become the standard to judge others. How can he chew a gum in a car? How can he walk like that? How can she take off her shoes like that? You have ill feelings when others don't have manners that you have. You have to look around, and when you enter the sanctuary, but when others don't do that, then you have ill feelings against them. You have to know it is not the goodness in the sight of Father God. You have to make your manners our Lord's manners. Our Lord's manners don't have ill feelings of those who don't have manners. It is rather to pray for them and wait. You have to understand their environment, and you have to help them. When people look very stubborn, you have to understand them that they grew up like that. Our shepherd understands every different kinds of members. He also understands teenagers, those in 20s, 30s, 40s, also 70s and 80s. Our generation was not like that. How could they do so? He doesn't say it like that. He understands their generation and then puts shoes into their shoes. He was a mother. The child was very young. And she carried her baby on her back. She forgets, you know, her baby was on her back. And the child was afraid of her mother because, you know, the mother always forgets that her baby is on her back and so her child bumps on a bus or a car or a taxi. The reason I'm saying this is that when our shepherd touches our hand, he said about 20 years ago, he shook hands with little ones. You know, when a mother and a child stand together, the mother forgets about the child, because she was busy to shake hands with the shepherd. So, you know, our shepherd always shake hands with the little ones first, and then their mother. No, we were not like that when I was a teenager. But our shepherd said, right now this world is so full of evil. But our students and children try to keep this truth, and they overcome themselves. I'm so thankful for them. They're doing a pretty good, very good job. He does not think of what his generation did. He just considers and understands the current generation in this current environment. You know, senior pastor always think about our students, what kind of in the meat you know, he should give to our students. And he always take care of, you know, look around in the prayer house to make all things, you know, better for our students. And he always, you know, think about the snacks and ice cream and other stuff. And our students, when our students go to, you know, prayer house, you know, they really enjoy what, you know, our shepherd you know, prepared. And they rejoice together. When I saw that, I remember what, you know, our shepherd did in preparation for meeting with the students. And he understands others. You know, they grew up like that. You know, they got no experience. That's the manners of the Lord. Now, we also, we have to consider others in the environment and their growing up environment. We have to understand their situation, believe them, and wait for them. Our shepherd always puts his shoes into her shoes. There are so many things deceiving our students, but our shepherd was pleased when our students did do their best to keep their faith. We also have to consider others' hearts and wait for them and believe them. Instead of having ill feelings against them, we should be able to understand their hearts. Let me conclude this message. Flesh and spirit are different from the starting point. It is flesh to seek for their own benefit, to be praised, to point others' faults. But it is spirit to serve others, sacrifice themselves, and to look for others' benefit. Ruth didn't forsake her old and lonely mother-in-law, Naomi. She came to a foreign country to serve her mother. Well, Orpha, you know, her sister-in-law, was like that too in the beginning. But Orpha must have had many thoughts like, you know, I'm sorry for my mother and it hurts my feelings, but it's not that I didn't want to go with her. She was so strongly urging me to stop following her. You know, she did try to fulfill her duty, and she did want to choose goodness, but eventually she followed her own benefit. Even though you know, she didn't act in evil, she couldn't be recognized to be good in the sight of God. Suppose Orpha did follow Naomi, having such a heart, and if there were more difficulties than she thought there would be, she would have eventually complained against her mother-in-law and acted unbecomingly toward her. We should always check not to become like this Orpha. Even though we serve others, we always check whether it is perfect goodness or not. We always have to think about afterlife. We have to always think what is the best way to resemble Father God. We always have to run toward the perfect goodness of Father God. The first thing you have to cast off to cultivate goodness before God is self-justification. I told you about justifying yourself. The second aspect that you have to cast away to cultivate goodness before God is arrogance. And I told you two different kinds of goodness. The third aspect that you have to cast away to cultivate goodness in God's sight is to mistakenly think your own fervor as a fervor for God. And I told you about breaking peace out of your zeal or your own manners. To discover this stuff, you have to pray fervently. And where you find them, You have to cast them off. It's not goodness, but it's not evil either. Stop thinking like that. You should feel sorry and repent, rendering your heart in repentance during prayer. You heard this message. Of course, you know, I did something wrong, but that's not evil. That's not sin. It's trivial. Don't say it like that. Pastor Hyesung Lee said about, you know, repentance. She said, when we committed 100 sins, we gave repentance for 10 out of 100. Then we cannot have true peace. But thanks to peace offering by our shepherd, Father God said, I will reconcile myself with you. That we have a chance to repent ourselves. You know, while I was listening to this message that senior pastor delivered, I said to Father God in my prayer that I want to find this. I know I had this. I want to get rid of it. I want to change myself. I thought I was right. I didn't say yes to my co-worker. For many days I prayed. So I still pray, Father, I want to stop saying I'm right. Without notice, I want to be praised. I want to be acknowledged. So I pray for that. Stop doing that. It is not blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. It is not standing against God. So it is, you think it is not sin. But you have to realize this. It is not perfect goodness in the sight of God. And because of that, you broke peace with others. You didn't serve others well. And you were stagnating because of that. You have to realize this. And you have to repent of that in your prayer. You have to repent of having dull conscience. You have to repent of being stagnant in your faith. You have to repent of hurting others' hearts without knowing, and that you make it slow to work for Father God's work. I hope you can become the light, cast out darkness by achieving this perfect goodness. Let's think over the message and pray together.
사랑의 아버지 하나님 감사합니다. 자기 보기에 선이 아니라 아버지 하나님 보시기에 선에 대한 말씀을 들었습니다. 우리 너무나 선의 말씀들을 많이 듣습니다. 은혜로 끝나는 것이 아니라 그 말씀들 하나하나를 통해 나를 조명해 보게 하시고 나를 발견하고 찾아 더 아버지 원하시고 기뻐하신 선으로 만들어갈 수 있게 축복하여 주옵소서. 아버지 하나님 내가 정당하고 옳다하지 아니하게 하옵소서. 내가 틀린 것을 찾아 늘 궁구하며 버리게 하시옵시고 불같은 기도와 변화와 생명으로 나와지는 저희들이 되어질 수 있도록 축복하여 주옵소서. 교만을 빼 내게 하여 주옵시고 충성한 것을 돌아보는 것이 아니라 내가 화평함을 깬 것은 있지 않나 노을 돌아보아 더 아버지 보시기에 온전한 선을 향해 달려가는 저희들의 일 수 있도록 축복하시며 함께 주옵소서. 감사하고 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
Let's receive senior pastor's prayer for the sick on screen. Lay your hand on the chest. Lay your hand on the sick part of your body. And if you're not sick, lay your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through satellites and internet and on GCN TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries around the world. Give them faith to believe and drive away all negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerve tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command, enemy devil and Satan, all diseases and germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. scorch all the terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, women's diseases, and all inflammations. Go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains. Go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened. Get up, walk, leave. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf come to hear, and the mute come to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let there be no skull left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerve tissues and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, and evil forces of darkness, and their servants, go away. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, false spirits, deceiving and separating spirits, and all forces of darkness, loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, you go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sin to become sanctified. As their soul prosper, let all things go well with them and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, your family, workplace, and business. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and give them fervor and passion to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from the worldly things. Let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it all for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received answers and blessings. Let them testify with their lips like this. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.